All right, you're on the Arms with Glenn.
And John.
And we're a few minutes late. I apologize for that.
He says were. He means he.
Well, the show is a few minutes late. I am a few minutes late. But in my defense, I told you I was going to be late last night. So this is not like a surprise.
Okay, so you call your first sergeant the night before formation and you're like, hey, I'm not going to be there. That's just okay with them?
Most of the time, yeah.
False.
If you're the colonel, yes, you could call the first sergeant and say, I'm going to be a little late.
Oh, you promoted yourself to colonel, I see.
You are definitely not my superior, so yes.
Oh, God, no.
I get to call you and say,
Adam's time is very valuable, though, Glenn.
I'm late. Adam is also not my superior.
Yeah, we told him
that. He just, owns the network. It's no big deal.
We told him that.
All right, guys. We are coming to you, from the official Wilderness Tactical Studio. Make sure you check them out at thewilderness.com. And don't forget our scholarship. Still got that going on pretty much every month. So if you're interested, let us know. Shoot us an email, info@trainingaz.com, and we will get you on the next list for scholarship capabilities. Our show today brought to you by HexMag. Remember to buy HexMags. Buy them.
Do it.
They're aesthetic and sexy, and they just came out with the new Glock mags, and they've got AR-10 mags coming out, and they've got a really cool grip made by Ergo Grips, and they've got rail panel covers and for M-Lock, Keymod, and Picatinny. They've got a little bit of everything, so check out HexMag. They got a lot more than just AR-15 magazines. Remember, we still have people deployed, so don't forget. All right, I know it's not as popular or common in the news to hear about it, but they're still out there. Did we talk last week about the one that was lost in a vehicle accident?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The group guy? Yeah. I don't think there's been anybody since then, but something to remember. Still happening. What's going on in the world today, Mason? I've been working so much.
In some military-related news,
yeah,
the commander of all U.S. forces in Afghanistan has asked for 10,000 more soldiers because he can't do the job that he was given with what he has. Go figure.
Hmm.
Like, can't say that's necessarily doesn't make him a bad leader.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying the leadership took shit away from him that he needed to do his job. Are you surprised? I'm not surprised by that.
Oh, I got you.
I'm not surprised by the fact that he can't do what he needs to do with only 10,000 troops or 9,900 something that we have over there right now.
I got you.
So fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, Mason.
Trip number two. Let's go.
You have fun with that, bud.
Could be you, man.
Pretty much over that crap.
Well, you're an older guy now with the family and stuff, John.
It's true.
I'll take your place. I won't do your job, but I'll take your place.
Then you can't take my place.
Damn it.
Sorry, bro. Thanks for the offer, though.
I'm not playing with any of that crap.
So one interesting news story that I saw was the Oroville Dam risk. And it was interesting because this was sent to us the day of our last show. So last week's show, 5 minutes after the show, I got this message from one of our listeners, Matt, who sent over information about the Oroville Dam in California. More than 180,000 people in Northern California have been told to evacuate after two overflow channels at the U.S. tallest dam were found to be damaged. And the reason this was particularly interesting is because last week we talked about having a go bag or a 72-hour bag, keeping it ready.
For
a realistic emergency.
Which, in the grand scheme of things, this doesn't seem like one of those super realistic things that happens because it doesn't happen on a regular basis. Like, dams don't normally break.
It doesn't, but it's still a possibility. And how many big metropolitan areas are potentially affected by dams? If a dam broke, how many areas would just be flooded?
Oh, that depends on where you're at.
You know, even where we live.
Well, out here, it wouldn't be that bad. Like, you'd lose a few houses along Carefree Highway.
But you know that dike at Carefree Highway? We do. Yeah,
that dike
is there in case the dam breaks. It would literally flood all the way over to here.
When Adele and I, one of our other instructors, myself, went out to tour one of the large hydroelectric dams here for some training we were doing there, they told us about the effect that dam breaking would have.
Right.
It would kill hundreds of thousands of people.
All right.
I mean, it was more than I thought it would be. But it's just the sheer volume and speed of the dam breaking.
Well, it's a giant flash flood.
Yeah, it's not just going to refill the dry washes. Like, there's a ton of water at a very high speed.
Well, there's a lot more than a ton of water.
Yeah, there's
probably a lot of tons of water.
How about that? How about a lot?
Metric fuck ton.
I believe shitload would be inappropriate.
MFT.
So there you go. So, yeah, I mean, it's just kind of one of those things that popped up right after the show, and I thought, well, hey, that makes that's a perfect example of what might actually be a realistic emergency.
No, it'll never happen to me.
Right there. Let's see. Oh, man. I've been doing so much freaking training, drive myself insane. Last weekend, did Wilderness First Aid.
That's what's driving you insane?
No, there's other things that are driving
me insane. It's too late for that, I think.
It's one of the things. Wilderness First Aid, always loved teaching medical classes. Had some really awesome role players and scenario stuff for the second day of training, which was yesterday. And just fantastic class. Mason was a role player. Also helped me instruct a class on day number one. And then Adele came in to instruct yesterday. And Mason was role player, and it was fantastic. So
very
it was a lot of fun,
class.
Man. That was a great class. And it was rainy and cold yesterday, which is perfect for that kind of outdoor training. Perfect.
I love when people ask us if we're canceling training because it's rain is scheduled for the day, and we're like,
face when they ask me if I'm canceling training.
No, we typically only schedule training for when there's inclement weather.
So that was great, man. Other than that, Mason, other than basically hanging out with me the whole time, did you do anything else exciting this weekend?
I literally spent the whole weekend with you.
That's why I'm asking. I don't know. You.
I didn't have any time to do anything else. We didn't get to go on our bro date.
We didn't.
Which I'm really sad about.
We'll make it happen, man. I promise. I promise
Lies.
You and I will have a bro date. It'll be good. I'm the big spoon, though. Remember, always the big spoon.
Yeah, you think. You think because I'm small that I'd be the small spoon? False.
How about you, Johnny? Anything exciting going on?
I spent a lot of time with my oldest kid this weekend. Friday night, we went to a birthday party for one of his classmates. It was a new experience going to one of these, you know. Found out that most of the parents around there are not my people.
Yeah, not my people.
there was a lot of tribal tattoo and fancy pants on
man.
Dudes.
Tribal tattoos.
It was fun though. We had a good time. It was they did it at Dave and Buster's. We had a good time. Saturday we spent some family time. We were going to go down to this science thing.
Science center?
No, it's like a outdoor thing because my kid's now in STEM.
Oh, right.
So they have all these like free events, and there's like over 1,000 free events between now and the end of March here in the local area for science, technology, and stuff like that. So we're going to go check one out, but it had been canceled because of the rain. So he and I ended up going to see Batman Lego movie.
Yeah.
It's pretty awesome.
I went and saw it last week. It was okay.
There's some good some good adult humor in it, you know, and, you know, it was just a kind of a fun movie. And then yesterday, just kind of hung out at the house all day, and that was about it, man. Nothing super exciting going on in my life of late.
Right on. Well, it has been, it's definitely been busy for us lately, man. Training has been nuts. It has been nuts. That's why I was late this morning, because I found out last night that I was going to be doing a very early morning private training at the range, so...
Yeah. You know, they have this thing called a schedule where you can schedule things.
I've got
calendars, and I mean, you know,
I've got one of those. It's just
you can
full.
Deconflict those things. You
full.
Know.
Well, I got a couple other people who schedule things for me, and sometimes I get.
Yeah, we need a secretary.
Sometimes I get scheduled, and
we've offered you that job many times, Mason.
Yeah, dude.
But everybody knows that only women can be secretaries, right?
Today's show works. Brought to you by sexism. It's still alive, ladies and gentlemen.
Still alive and well. Today's show brought to you by Mason and Heels. Hell yeah.
You're turning me on. Stop.
Those calves. You ever seen Mason's legs? I mean, they are just...
They're like chicken legs, bro.
Freaking terrifying, man. White.
Friends don't let
Yeah, but
friends.
How many other chickens do you want to sleep with? Got them.
Got you there, dude. All right. Redwire gear moment go.
All right. So we're going to do an update on a personal note from my life on the quitting smoking thing.
Quitting
so,
smoking,
as
right.
Some people in this room know, I may or may not have failed. I did. I failed for...
No, you didn't fail. You regressed.
I regressed for about a little over a week. Just, I don't know why. It just happened. But I've been back on the train. Had a couple this morning. And now we're back on it, and we're going to I'm going to see how long we can go this time. Hopefully this will be it, because it's a really expensive, gross, terrible habit. So just an update for all of you guys, because I know several of you guys sent me an email and everything back when I originally started. So we're still working on it, kids. We're still working on it.
Send John emails to remind him. Give him all kinds of reasons to stop smoking and give him some encouragement. John@redwiregear.com.
Yeah, I'm going to send you pictures of cigarettes and people smoking them.
I'm just going to constantly send you photos of terrible lungs and also dollar bills.
Yeah, dollar bills.
Yeah.
So that's it. That's it for the Red Wire Gear moment today. Check us out on Instagram and Facebook.
And Twitter.
Right. No.
No, we don't have Twitter.
No, we don't do the Twitter.
The Twittersphere. We are not in the Twittersphere.
We are not in the Twittersphere. Dang it. All right. Well, with all that said, let's get on to our topic of the day. Probably the least amount of BSing we've maybe ever done on a show. But
what are we talking about today? I don't even pay attention.
I know you don't. I know. You and Mason never
This is my surprise face.
What we're actually ever talking about on the show.
No, it's sometimes low round count exercises.
Low right, so you do.
What? Mic drop. Now you can just leave, John. You
I'm out.
To stay
I'm anymore. Out. Show's over. Thanks for listening. You don't have to shoot a lot to train good. That's it. We're done. Show's over.
So low round count shooting exercises, how to get the most bang for your buck. We're going to talk about targets, different types of targets to use. And most importantly, what we're going to start off with is the importance of dry training. And I think that most people underestimate the value of good dry practice.
I would agree with that 100%.
The importance of going in dry.
Most people don't have access to ranges like we have access to. They don't have access to
That's
ranges.
That's true.
Yeah, it's definitely something I take for granted that I can just drive 15 minutes from my house pretty much whenever I want.
Yeah, and have access to this badass range. I mean, and even in Arizona, I mean, we have access to Cowtown Range where we can move and shoot and draw from a holster and freaking fight out of vehicles.
Basically
and
do what we want.
We pretty much do whatever we want. But that I understand not everybody has that access to that. Even in Arizona, you've got a whole bunch of public land where you can basically do that. Mm-hmm. You're not really limited on what you can do when you're shooting on public land. A little bit with some of the stuff, you know, explosives and stuff like that. But as far as like just recreational shooting or training, it's pretty not very limited, right? We know that not everywhere you go do you have access to that public land or do you have access to those kinds of ranges. So,
or outdoor ranges in general.
Or maybe even, yeah, maybe not even an outdoor range at all. I mean, my training this morning was with some guys out of Florida, and after we were doing some shooting and moving stuff with carbines, and they were like, man, we don't even have access to this where we're at. You know, like, how do we practice this? And one of the things I told them was dry practice, right? Like, you can do this dry. So let's talk a little bit about dry training or dry practice, because a lot of people say, like, oh, you dry practice, but the concepts aren't really gone over. So let's cover some of the really basic fundamental things of dry practice, all right? So thing number one is safety. You must absolutely positively, beyond the shadow of a doubt, make sure that you remove all live ammunition from the area to include anything you might carry on your body.
Mm-hmm.
Just get live ammunition out of the area. Don't even have it in the same room as yourself.
So, well, I have a
dumb crap will happen.
I have a spot in my garage because I have a little gun area set up in my garage. I've got my gun safe and all of my range supplies and stuff. And that's where I do my dry practice, because that particular wall of my house, and this is also going to speak to safety a little bit, that particular wall of my house, where the wall of my garage goes out my garage into a concrete wall that I had poured separately, and then it's dirt, right? So I know that if something terrible were to go wrong in this particular area, nothing, I'm going to put a hole in the house. I'm going to be pissed. I'm going to have some ringing in my ears. Accidents happen. Nobody's going to get hurt.
Right.
But what I do when I'm going to do my dry practice, I unload everything. I double check everything. If my wife's at home, I have her check it. And then I lock all of the ammunition in my gun safe. That way it's gone. It's out of the way. I know where it's at. I know it's safe. I know it's secure. So that if something happens and I need to move away from that area, so I need to set my carbine down, I know that it's not going to accidentally get loaded. I know that my wife's not going to come out there. The kids aren't going to come out there. You know, nobody's going to put ammunition in this thing. Now, if that happens and I go back to finish my dry practice, obviously I'm going to double check it just to make sure, even though I know the ammunition fairy is not a real thing.
But even though we understand, like, here's the reality, right? We know that we're smart enough, we're intelligent enough to not, we're experienced
speak for yourselves
enough, right?
Right.
To where
Mason,
we're
take notes.
We're not actually going to load around But, dude, it's just one of those things where it's the one time that you're not feeling good, the one time you're not playing 100% game today, the one time you just make that mistake. So it's better to just be safe than sorry. Just remove ammunition from the area. Lock it in a safe, remove it from the room, just get it out of there, all right? So that's step number one for dry practice. Dry practice into a location where you're, you know, you're willing to put bullets.
Yeah.
Right. Now, here's where dry practice can be massively beneficial for basic skill sets like the low round count exercise we're talking about today. Is that I can practice all the muscle memory stuff that I need to do in order to go out. Live fire is a validation of the skills that I'm working on, right? Mm-hmm. Live fire just tells me this is this is working, right? This is whatever I'm trying to do is working. And it also allows me to work on trigger press. You know, you can only dry practice trigger press so much. You know the difference of when a gun's gonna fire and when it's not. So once you get a good trigger press down, trigger press has to be done live. I mean, that's all there is to it. Sooner or later, you have to just focus on that for live fire. But at least in the beginning, you can work on your trigger press. You can perfect your techniques. But you can work on your holster presentation. You can work on bringing your rifle to bear. You can work on different ready positions. You can work on your movement.
Different shooting positions.
You can work on shooting positions. I dry practice a lot of rifle shooting positions, unconventional positions in my garage or my yard or whatever, way more than I do on the range. Mm-hmm. Because when I'm out on the range, even though we do have access to this awesome range, I still have a limited amount of time to be out there. You know, and it's harder for me. Maybe at 10 o'clock at night, I've got the time. So I'll go out in my garage and, you know, I'll figure out some kind of barricade to work around. I've used bicycles. I've used all kinds of quote-unquote barricades to work around and get my rifle out and start working. You know, especially with the competition stuff that I do. Man, unconventional shooting positions with rifles is like the name of the game with most of what I do. So I find every opportunity I can to practice with that. And I can do it any time of the day. I can do it in my underwear if I want. It doesn't matter.
That's the greatest part.
That's probably the best part. But I can put on my gear that I need. I can practice my reloads. I can practice all that stuff. No live ammunition, right? Empty magazines. But I can practice all those things. If you need to be able to practice sending the bolt home on something, just get yourself some safety trainer dummy rounds and practice with those very bright orange, definitely not a real round type stuff. But, you know, sometimes I'll practice with those things if I need to practice reloads or manipulation or something like that. But there's nothing that you're really going to do out on live fire other than actually sending bullets downrange that you cannot do dry practice.
Yeah.
And you can get all those muscle memory things. And that's one of the biggest things we see with our students is they'll come to a class and they want to learn from us. So we show them some new techniques and they're like, oh, cool, this is awesome. The first time you put that person under stress, they're going to go right back to whatever they did before. And they're not, because they have to think, put conscious effort into doing the things that we're teaching them about, because we only have them for a day or two. They've done that other thing however many thousands of times or hundreds of times they've done it. That's their muscle memory. So to overcome that, they're going to have to dry practice.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're just going to revert back to whatever it is they did before under any kind of stress, whether that's competitive or combative or whatever. So you've got to dry practice stuff to overcome, right? Bad. It's like BJJ, right? You could show me a BJJ move.
Yeah, and show you an arm bar all day long, and you'd be like, "Oh, and that looks simple."
You could show me 10 times today, right? We could do 10 or 15 or 20 repetitions.
And we'll do 15 or 20 drills, and you'll get it,
and
it'll
be
right, and it'll look good.
Yeah, and it'll look great. But then,
as soon as I'm actually attacking you, and you're trying to do it,
6 months from now.
No,
when you're attacking me and I'm trying to, it's not going to work
because I
haven't practiced it, right?
Yep.
And so that's the whole idea. It's just the same thing with shooting. Like, you can't just assume that because you saw something one time or did something for a day of training that it's going to work. But there's all these other cool things you can dry practice as well. And this is where these kind of low round count shooting exercises come in, is that you don't even need to fire any rounds to become a better shooter.
No.
That is the reality of when we're talking about low round count shooting exercises. You could fire almost no rounds and still be a
50 or less
shooter.
A month, and you could still be an extremely competent shooter.
I mean, like, you could fire almost nothing, right?
Yeah.
To me, that's almost nothing. And so,
well, that's because we shoot, like,
we do shoot a lot,
you know, quite a bit. So,
but, you know, if I dry practice, you want to figure out some skills, movement, and all that, you can do all of that in your garage, your backyard, whatever. If it's not good for you to use a gun, then fine. Maybe you don't even need that. If you're just practicing your movement concepts, get a very fake toy gun.
Yep.
You know, if you want to be able to move around in your backyard, but you're like, geez, what if my neighbors see me? I don't want to be out there with my AR. Okay, great. Then get a Nerf gun. I mean, really.
Dude. I legitimately do that with my Nerf guns with my kids. When we're having Nerf wars, I'm like
how I straight, teach my kids to fight, man.
Yeah, I'm like straight technique. And
yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's freaking super bright colored Nerf guns, you know? And we can go outside and I can dry practice, so to speak, with my kids using Nerf guns, and it's totally okay. And we're in the backyard, and I'm training them.
We're having like full-on Nerf wars.
And it's no big deal. So my point is, like, there's all kinds of opportunities to do this. You can think it's as silly as you want. That's fine. That's why we win a lot, is because we do this stuff. You know what I mean? You talk to any good competitive shooter or any good combative shooter, and dry practice is the name of the game. I mean, think about it from a military perspective, right? Think about the crawl, walk, run mentality that we do in the military. You look at any good training program in the military. I mean, let's even go to basic training, okay? Basic training, rifle marksmanship, typically a three-week
program. First thing they do is give you a rifle.
Yeah, and step number one, you just have to become familiar with the gun. You can fire it for like a week. You just have the gun, and you do you do canteen drills and dime drills, and you just dry practice, good, clean trigger press. Dry practice getting the rifle in position. Mm-hmm. Dry practice different shooting positions. Dry practice, for a whole freaking week. Almost to the point, where you're like, oh, God, I hate this crap.
You're spending hours. We called it grass week in boot camp. It's a week on the rifle range, but there's no live fire at all. It's all classes and cleaning and components, and then you spend like 4 days, 8 hours, 8 to 10 hours a day doing nothing but snapping in. Mm-hmm. When you get into the position, you line up the sights. They have all these barrels set up with all these different little targets on them. And you just sit there and you look and you breathe and you practice your natural point of aim and you figure out how to get into that right position and to where you're comfortable and you have good bone support. And like, it is the most mind numbing week of boot camp, period. Like, there's nothing more mind numbing than that.
And then the next week you go and you zero.
Yeah, you shoot all week.
And you just shoot and you zero and you learn how to zero and you learn good position and it's non-stressful and you just take your sweet time and you do from the fighting position, you do from the prone and you do from the sitting and you do from the kneeling and you work through all that kind of stuff. And all you're doing is just shooting and getting used to the gun, right? And it's very non-stressful. And
we don't really shoot a lot of rounds either doing those.
No, most of that is
You think about it, a qualification is... Yeah. How many rounds for your 40, to a full like 300 meter qual?
It's 40.
It's 40 rounds. That's really all, and it's especially after much. That's what we're firing once a year. We're firing 40 rounds once a year, and that's the practice that we get in the military.
Yeah, but in the meantime, though, there's this other stuff that goes on. You know, I mean, maybe not your craft.
Well, for some people, but
yeah,
for people that care.
Well, like for us, for me in boot camp, it was. You had grass week and then you had live fire week. Mm. So that whole week it was you shot the qualification course Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And then if you qualified on Thursday, if you shot a high enough score and you wanted to count that score, you could take your qualification on Thursday. If you didn't, you come back Friday and shoot your actual qual. Mm. So that whole week, and you shoot the qual course plus a little extra. You shoot a couple of stages extra on there that are still part of the course. You're just shooting it twice as many times. So like the 100 and the 200, you're shooting twice. Mm. The 300 meter rapid, you are shooting twice. But so you're shooting 60 to 70 rounds a day for that week.
It's still not that much.
No.
And God, the point is like all.
That's like before our first break in a defensive carbine class. Yeah. We shot 100 rounds, you know.
And then you actually go to the stressful period of the shooting where it's qualification, it's done over time. Then you go to the night ranges and you shoot with your freaking gas mask on and you get to do some fam fire with other weapon systems and all that. But my point being to all this is that there's a crawl, walk, run mentality where you take all this time. All this dedication to go in to do this, and then, you know, yet people will come to a training class and they're like, hey, I don't really know much about a pistol, but I want you to turn me into a ninja in 2 days. And you're like,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, look, all we can do from a training perspective is set you on the correct path, right? So that's what dry practice is. It's you taking the information that you've received in training, however you got that, and then practicing it so you get the muscle memory repetition so that when it is time – to go out to the live fire range, you're not wasting that precious time on the live fire range practicing your presentation from a holster. Now you've already got the presentation down.
Yep.
Now you're practicing that first shot hit. Now you're practicing multiple hits on target. Now you're practicing multiple targets. Now you're actually practicing, you're validating all of this muscle memory stuff with live fire. But you've already done the work, the dry practice of making sure that the muscle memory, just the physical movements and those skill sets are already done and taken care of.
Yep.
So that's where dry practice is so critically important. Because the other factor of dry practice is that most people have so little time to hit the range.
Oh, yeah.
I get it. Not everybody prioritizes it the same way. So most people, if they're shooting at all, they're shooting maybe once a month, if that. I mean, plenty of students and people that I know who love to shoot and still don't even shoot once a month. But the concept here is dry practice is something I can do way more than live fire. It doesn't take as much time. It doesn't take as much energy. It certainly will cost you nothing.
And it doesn't take as much commitment.
And you can do it whenever you want.
Yeah, whenever it's convenient.
I've got to go to a live fire range typically sometime during daylight hours. Well, if you have a normal job, you probably work during daylight hours.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the weekend, you got to spend time with the kids or the wife, or you're going on a camping trip with your buddies or whatever, and you just don't have time to fit it in. We get that. We understand. We understand that not everybody lives the same life we do. As far as
that's been the story in my life lately. I haven't been on a live fire range in a good 3 weeks.
But dry practice, right? If you're doing your dry practice.
Mm-hmm.
You will find that you will stay better up to speed. And for me, the biggest benefit of dry practice, I can do it whenever I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm like, hey, wife's asleep tonight, kids are in bed, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock, I don't really have anything else pressing to do right now. I'm gonna dry practice for 5 minutes, 10 minutes. Go out in the garage, pull out a rifle, work through some shooting positions, get my handgun, you know, go through some presentation and maybe draw from concealment a little bit and just kind of stay fresh on some skills. I dry practice a lot before I teach, you know, big classes or a class is going to be really important or something like that. You know, I'll dry practice a lot the days leading up to that to make sure that my skill sets are appropriate and that I'm not going to have any flaws in what I'm doing. You know, if it's been a while since I taught that class or I just, you know, really want to make a good showing or whatever.
Or you've been focusing on something else lately.
Yeah, or I've been really focusing on rifle and now it's time to get back into handgun. Like, dry practice is so critically important. And I think the biggest reason, so to kind of move off of dry practice and go to some of the other stuff is, I think the biggest reason most people don't shoot a lot is that they make it this thing. They make it this chore in their mind. Like, okay, let's see. It's time to go shooting. Here's what I got to do. I've got to get all my safety equipment, eyes and ears. I got to get the guns. I got to get the ammo. I got to clear it with the spouse and the kids. I got to make sure it fits into everybody's schedule. I got to get everything together. I got to make this long drive. I got to load up all the targets. I got to unload all the targets. I got to put up all the targets that I'm going to shoot. Then I got to clean up all my brass. I got to clean up all the targets. It's freaking hot. It's cold. It's raining, whatever. Then I got to drive all the way back home. I got to unload everything. I got to maybe clean the guns. I got to put all the stuff away. I mean, it can turn into this long freaking
process. It's like a day-long process to go shooting for like an hour.
Yeah, and people like, you know, I love going shooting, but man, it is this freaking giant process for us.
Yep.
That is true, and for most people, that is absolutely true.
But you can streamline that process a lot.
You can.
Because there's a lot of great, easy to set up target frames out there. There's the little bouncy ball targets that are a ton of fun to shoot at. It's easy. Like, it's not that complicated because once you reach a certain point in this particular lifestyle and you've spent some time on the range, you know what you need. You probably have a bag that has most of that stuff in it. You know, so you go and you're, okay, all of my stuff's still in my range bag. Cool. It's like a minute, right? Just open it up, double check. Got some extra ammo in there, some extra mags in there. Cool. All right, so I need my range bag, I need the targets, and I need my guns.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you can get that process streamlined, but yeah, if you're relatively new or you have a big family or you have a ton of guns or all this other stuff, then yeah, it's definitely a process that can be overwhelming.
So this is the way I look at it, is don't make shooting a chore.
Mm-mm.
If you make it a chore, if you overthink it, then you're not going to want to do it. And it's becoming less and less of a priority to you. So first of all, just fit it into what you're already doing. Just fit it. Don't try to make time for shooting so much as just fitting it into your already existing schedule. So as an example, if you drive past a range, could be indoor or outdoor, or you drive past, like if you're out here in Arizona and you drive past public land that you can shoot on every day, or it would only take a small detour to get to it, mm-hmm. then just start incorporating that into a daily or weekly routine. You know, once a week, every Tuesday or whatever, you know, on my way to the office, I'm going to swing by this place. Maybe it's a range. Maybe it's an outdoor place. Maybe it's public land, whatever. And, you know, I'm going to dedicate 20 rounds.
Yep.
Right? I do it a lot here in Arizona. We have so much public land that sometimes I'm driving along and I have the time and I have no targets in my vehicle. Right? I'm driving back from something that was totally unrelated. But I have my pistol with me like I normally always do. I keep Eye and Ear Pro in my vehicle. It's easy. I have glasses in my vehicle and I have, you know, sunglasses. These happen to be ballistic grade. I'm a big fan of carrying ballistic grade glasses. But, you know, I've got safety glasses essentially in my truck. And I just keep some foamies in there.
Yeah.
It's no big deal. You know, just throw some foamies in your freaking console. Now I've always got eyes and I've always got ears. And now I just find a place to pull over on the side of the road, find a good safe backstop and all that. I've got some places I kind of figured out I normally go to. And I say, I'm going to dedicate 10 rounds. And sometimes I shoot my part of my carry load, you know, because it's time to rotate it through or I want to practice with my carry load a little bit. I also carry a couple extra rounds. I carry a little 50-round box of a Full Metal Jacket in my truck. You know, there's no reason not to, right? I've got plenty of space in the truck, and now I've always got the ammo. So I can pull over, and I can set up any number of targets. You got an empty water bottle, you got a target.
Fantastic.
Okay, you have a piece of paper.
And some duct tape.
You got a target, right? Do you have a cardboard box? You got a target, right? I have used all kinds of crisps. Sometimes I have like used a wrapper, like a Snickers bar wrapper, mm-hmm. right? And like duct tape it to a stump, right? And just use this, and I'm like, okay, I have a really small target. What's my focus going to be? I'm going to dedicate 10 rounds to this very small target, all right? And my goal is to, you know, do everything I can to keep all 10 rounds, you know, on this part of the Snickers bar wrapper. My focus is going to be the eye and Snickers, mm-hmm. and I'm going to shoot from 5 yards, and it's just going to be presentation from concealment, 2 shots each time.
Yeah.
You know, now I get a focus on really solid marksmanship fundamentals,
mm-hmm.
presentation from concealment, mm-hmm. and maybe I do it one-handed. So now I also get to do one-handed, you know, shooting. So I get to focus and stress several different skill sets. And then when I'm done, I peel the Snickers bar wrapper off, I pick up 10 freaking pieces of brass, and I drive away.
Wait. At what point do you eat the Snickers bar?
Well, I ate it on the way there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to shoot a Snickers bar.
That's your reward for
that's heresy
for shooting well. Is no, you get to eat the Snickers bar.
But the point is, don't overthink your targets. People overthink. If I know I'm going to be somewhere and I'm like, hey, I might have time to shoot, I will grab like a U.S. Postal Service shipping box, you know, from the office or from my house because I was always shipping something, so I keep a few extras on hand. Those flat rate boxes are great. I'll grab one of those.
And they're free.
Right? To an extent. I mean, they keep raising their damn prices for flat rates. Probably because all the flat rate boxes we
take. The boxes are all free. You can get the boxes free all day long.
I'm just saying, that's probably why all the prices are always increasing because everyone keeps using boxes for everything but shit.
You're welcome, U.S. Postal Service.
But, you know, grab one of those. Grab a couple of the small ones, the big ones, whatever. I'll just grab one of those. They fold flat. And I'll leave it in the truck if I think, hey, and over the next couple of days, I'll be driving by that place where I can stop and shoot. And then it's easy. You get there, you unfold the box, you got a marker, a pen in your truck, mm-hmm. you draw some really basic targets. It can be whatever, hand draw something. It could be a face, could be a torso, could be some numbers.
A clown, because no one likes clowns.
Yeah, whatever. And now you got a target. We did a video on our YouTube channel several years ago called The Roadside Workout.
Mm-hmm.
It's a perfect example of what we're talking about, where I took a steel target. We really like the Precision 3D targets out of Flagstaff, Arizona. They make a really mobile-friendly steel target.
Yeah.
There's a full-grade torso steel target, but it's mobile-friendly. It's easy to break down and put in the trunk of a car or the back of a truck or whatever. And the workout exercise I show is there's a little wash right next to this highway that I would drive like 4 to 5 times a week out on public land between where I lived and the range. And so I would put this target down typically 30 yards, and I would start all the way back at 25 or 30 yards typically. And I would start back there from the holster, 2 shots, 1-2, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then I would run as fast as I could up to like 10 yards, you know, sprint that little 10-yard sprint. And then 2 more rounds, 1-2, right? So now we're at 4 rounds.
Yep.
And then moving in from 10, all right, moving forward, I would engage like three more rounds, you know, one, two, three, on the move. Get to the very end, and when I'm as close as I want to be, 5 yards, call it, then single-handed, do two with the right, swipe, and one with the left. Right? There's my 10 rounds.
Oh, my Lord.
So now I've worked on moving. I've worked on presentation. I've worked on a little bit of running. I've worked on single-handed shooting. I've worked on all these different skill sets, and I only fired 10 rounds.
And you spent a grand whopping total, I would imagine, including setup, teardown, cleanup, less than 20 minutes.
Oh, yeah, easily. I could do that exercise, and I would vary it. Like, sometimes I would force reloads. I would take three magazines. You know, I'd put, like, 3 rounds in one, 4 rounds in another, 3 rounds, right, whatever, however you want to do the math there, and force reloads. I would bring dummy rounds and force manipulation. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I would shoot the whole thing left-handed or shoot the whole thing right-handed. Sometimes I'd only do it one-handed. But for that 10-round roadside workout, I averaged 15 minutes.
Yeah.
In everything. Like from the time I pulled off the highway, drove down to the spot, set up the steel target, got my eyes and ears on, shot the exercise, cleaned everything up, put everything back in the truck and got back to the highway, averaged 15 minutes.
That is convenient.
Yeah.
Also, my inner Star Wars fan would be remiss if I didn't mention that you do force reloads and force manipulations with your weapon. Glenn just stands back and waves his hands and reloads all of his weapons and does all those manipulations. That's impressive. I think. Why haven't you taught us that?
That's next level shit.
Why haven't you taught any of us that stuff?
We haven't achieved that level yet.
Yeah, I can't take you to that level yet, man.
I was almost there.
Your midichlorian count is too low.
I was almost there, and then I started my own business.
So, you know, this is kind of the whole concept here is low round count exercises. Yeah. Variate this as much as you want.
Is that a word?
No.
Variate?
You just made that up. That's not real.
Variate's
vary.
A word.
No, you would just say vary.
Oh, vary?
You would,
variation.
You would vary
variation
this drill.
Or vary.
Variate is, in fact, not a word. I'm going to look it up just to make sure, but I am 95% sure.
I am 98% certain. Variate is not a word.
Let's find out.
Random variate. A random variate is a particular outcome of
it's
a random variable.
Variate.
Whatever.
Variate?
It is. I said it, thus it exists. It's actually a noun for statistics or random variable.
Yeah, in the mathematical field of probability, the statistics, a random variate
so even if
is
it is
particular
a word,
outcome
I didn't
of
use
a random variable.
Okay, you can vary these drills as
there
much as you
there,
want.
Yay!
All right, you can vary these drills as much as you want. All right. And don't think of them as drills, right? Think of them as exercises. Just like we exercise to get stronger, that's what we're doing here with shooting. That's why we call them shooting exercises. And we try
it's
not
a shooting workout, if you will.
It is a
shooting. It's shooting CrossFit.
It's not shooting CrossFit. No.
Bro,
not
dude.
Bro, do you
yeah, but if we say that, you know how many people are going to do that?
What's that?
If we say that it's shooting CrossFit, you know how many people are going to do it?
They've done some
more
CrossFit events, and they are definitely popular. People.
They sound stupid to me.
That's why we didn't ask you about it.
Because I would not be there.
So, you know, don't overthink the exercises. Don't overthink your targets. Come up with as many random variables as possible.
Yeah.
One I like to do is shooting. I'll do this one a lot, like at the range. You know, I usually do most of my little low round kind of exercise even before a class or after a class. Mm-hmm. And so what I'll do is I'll take a table and I'll flip it over on its side. And now I have three positions to shoot from, right, left, over, and right. And then I'll park my truck, like, over far to the right of that, right? So then I've got lots of different positions to shoot from my truck. You got to trust yourself if you're going to shoot around your own vehicle. Okay?
Yeah, buddy.
But
or don't because you've got insurance.
Or if you got insurance,
you know,
whatever.
Whatever.
But I'll have these two positions, and I'll have one steel target, just one. Or one paper target, or one Snickers wrapper, or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. Just one simple target. I like steel because it gives me good feedback. And I'll mention something else about steel here in a second. But so I will, you know, start maybe 25 yards back, and then I like shot timers because they give me a way to measure myself. And so I'll hit the shot timer, boom, it beeps, and I sprint up to the table, get in position, shoot one round around the left, run over to the truck, shoot one round around the right, sprint back over to the table, one round around the right, sprint back over the truck, one round around the left, sprint back over the table, one round over the top, sprint back towards the truck, one round underneath, and then between the truck and the table on the move, finish off with those last four rounds. There you go, 10 rounds. And what skills have we utilized there?
All of them.
A lot, right? Movement, unconventional positions, everything, right? Moving and shooting, use of cover, all that stuff, right? Good marksmanship. Set up a couple targets if you have the capability, but you don't need a ton of targets to practice. You don't have to set up a giant array of targets.
No.
One target is all you really need. You know, pick a target that you can use. And when you're using still, be very careful about using still. All you got to do is visit Instagram to see what I'm talking about. All these faggots on there getting all these
We shouldn't say that word.
What?
I don't know.
It's bundles of sticks?
Word. Yeah.
A bundle of sticks?
Or smokes.
Or in smokes England, in England. Smokes.
Can I bum a faggot?
Sure, you sure can, Glenn. You sure can.
All these, how about queers? Can I say that?
Sure.
Sure.
All those queers on Instagram, all right, who use these giant freaking steel targets to somehow prove that they can hit stuff. You'll impress
Super
me.
Super fast.
Yeah, you'll impress me when you're hitting four-inch plates, two-inch plates. Stuff like
index
that.
Card.
Well,
index
the cool card. Thing about Instagram speed. Videos is that we don't have to show the target.
Yeah.
We can just show us shooting and a guy in the background with a hammer hitting a piece of steel.
Or we don't see how many times it took him to actually get this thing right. But, you know, the point is that if you're going to use steel, remember that steel is good. It gives you good feedback, but steel can make you lazy.
Or make you sloppy for sure.
Paper keeps you honest.
Yeah, buddy.
Right? Steel makes you lazy. So I like a mix of both. And sometimes I'll use both. I'll set up these kinds of exercises, and I'll have one of each. But I always try to have at least one of each. Training I did this morning with those guys, we were doing moving and shooting with carbines. Same stuff. We had one paper target, move from the paper target to the steel target.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but force good marksmanship on the paper target before moving to a steel target might make you kind of lazy. So there's all kinds of cool setups that you can get. John mentioned little rolling balls, the little rubber things that you shoot, and they flip around. There's actual steel flippers. We've got one of them at the range. Mm-hmm. It's like three sides or whatever.
Yeah, it's like a dueling tree.
Yeah, and every time you shoot it, it flips over. So then it's like shoot it again, it flips over, and it keeps getting at a different angle and further and further and further away. Dueling trees, any of those kinds of things are great targets to use. They don't have to be a torso target. It doesn't have to be a bad guy target. It doesn't have to be a big target. It'd be something super simple. Those little steel flippers, I love them. Those little rubber balls that bounce around, I love those. They make the square ones that are real hard to kind of get to move around.
Mm-hmm.
They'll force you to have good marksmanship. They'll give you something reactive so you know you're getting the hit, and they're fun.
And they're generally small enough that you're not going to get super lazy with your marksmanship.
And a key element of all this is picking targets that are fun.
Fun.
To shoot at.
Wait, what? Fun?
Yeah, fun, wait.
Shooting is fun?
Fun is a key element to learning. And again, this is why I say don't make your shooting exercises into a chore.
Yeah.
Because then you're not going to have fun. And if you're not going to have fun, then you're not really going to want to do this.
There you go.
It always feels like you're out there just training to kill bad guys, then it's going to get boring after a while, right? That only goes for so long. You got to have some fun in there, right? So make, you know, do some shooting exercises that are nothing but fun.
Do it with a 22. I know you do the big family things with the 22. You guys take a bunch of frozen fruit and just throw it all over the place and paint it, and you just shoot it with the 22s.
It's a blast.
Go out and shoot your 22s. Yeah. Marksmanship is marksmanship is marksmanship. I don't give a shit if you're shooting a 22 or dropping bombs from a raptor.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter. Marksmanship is marksmanship.
Dropping bombs from a raptor?
Yeah, not a velociraptor, an F-22, man.
Let's do it.
Marksmanship is marksmanship, man. They have to know, like, anyhow.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you're shooting. Marksmanship is marksmanship. And if you understand the fundamentals of marksmanship, whether you're using your handgun, your long gun, your whatever, you're going to do fine. But you got to have fun.
Mm. And make them applicable to your situation. You know, make it useful. Look, if you conceal carry and you're out there practicing from an open holster.
A thigh rig. Modified knee rig.
Whatever, yeah. You're not benefiting yourself. Practice from concealment.
Yep.
Don't go out and do exercises that make you feel good. Go out and do exercises that challenge yourself.
Yep. If you off-body carry, for God's sakes, practice that.
Yeah. I did a four-hour
class.
That's
a great place for dry practice.
I did a four-hour class last week with a woman working out of a purse. A whole 4 hours working out of a purse.
Oof.
A lot of lessons learned in that one.
Oh, I bet.
But yeah, it's like you got to practice with this stuff. Mm-hmm. If you carry a shield, don't practice. Don't go out and train with your G17.
That's cheating.
Go out and practice with your freaking shield.
But it hurts my hand.
Yeah, but ow, I don't like it. I don't care. Yeah,
tough.
right? Go out and practice with that. Again,
carry a bigger gun.
These are low round count exercises. Yeah. So they're applicable for a gun that you don't really love to shoot. Maybe you do carry a small gun because that's what you have to carry because it you can facilitate it into your lifestyle. I get it. I totally understand.
Yeah.
But if that's the case, then you
definitely
really
need to practice with that gun.
Need to practice with that gun. And low round count exercises will keep it fun and comfortable without just beating the heck out of you or whatever. So, you know, practice these things. If you're going to practice, if you carry a reload, then practice reload. But look, if you don't carry a reload, then don't practice reloads. It's not really that important, right? Practice the stuff that's going to be the most applicable to you. Now, to get the most out of this kind of training, it's really important that you have three primary things that are required for all good training. Standards, measurement, and pressure. Figure out these three things. So as an example, right, I've got my Snickers bar wrapper duct taped to a tree stump, all right, and I'm going to go out there and work on this. My standard is going to be 10 out of 10 hits on the Snickers bar wrapper, okay? We'll call that the standard, okay? So now how am I going to measure that? Well, I've got the measurement. The measurement is a Snickers bar wrapper. I can incorporate a shot timer and say I'd like to be able to draw from concealment and put a round on the Snickers bar wrapper in, let's say, 2 seconds, okay? So I do it, and it's a second and a half. All right, well, now my new standard is a second and a half.
Exactly.
Right? And I keep working. Okay, now I do it in 1.3. Okay, my new standard is 1.3, right? And I keep working on that standard. I like shot timers because they give me a way to measure. I don't give a damn about split times or whatever. I don't care about that. What I care about is a way to measure my performance because it gives – if you want to get faster, you can't get faster if you don't know how fast you are. If you want to get more accurate, you can't get more accurate if you don't know how accurate you are, right? So people often come to us and say, I want to get faster, I want to be more accurate. I want to have a faster draw. Well, how fast are you right now? Well, they don't know the answer. Shot timer lets us know how fast they are, right? Certain types of targets let us know how accurate you are. So work through that. And then lastly, pressure test it. So how do we pressure test these exercises? 1,001 different ways to do it. Start with the conditions you do it in. Next time you're super tired after work, go do a shooting exercise.
Yeah, do it after work on your way home when life sucks.
The next time you feel sick, go do it. The next time it's raining, go do it. The next time it's dark, you carry a flashlight for self-defense but you've never shot with it, go out and do one of these shooting exercises in the dark.
No.
The next time it's snowing, the next time it's cold, the next time it's really hot, whatever, right? Find ways to pressure test yourself in those manners. You know, pressure test yourself a little by doing it all left-handed.
All the time.
Yeah. All the time for you. But
or do it right-handed if you're lefty.
Or do it right if you're lefty. If you're wrong-handed, you can do it right-handed. So
I see what you did there.
But utilize standards, measurement, and pressure. Without a standard and no way to measure it and no way to pressure test it, you are ballistically masturbating. That's all you're doing. You are just throwing lead downrange, making yourself feel good, and calling it a day, right? And most people, unfortunately, only train to their comfort. They just train to their comfort level. They're like, hey, I'll put the target this far away because I know I can hit it.
Yeah, buddy.
You know, I'll go this fast because I know I can make it, right? So go faster, go further, go make smaller targets.
Stronger, better, faster.
You know what my favorite targets still to this day is?
Index card?
Shotgun shells.
Mm.
I love shooting. Since a kid, I've always loved shooting shotgun shells. You know, empty shotgun shells. You go out to any public shooting area, you're going to find plenty of them.
Probably.
Crap
bunch of derpy turds.
Pick up their stuff. But they always find plenty of them, right? And then take them with you when you're done, right? Pick up the trash that you used. But
and take a little extra.
And take some
extra. If you're on public land, just take a little extra.
But I love to set them up on the ground or, you know, stick them into a tree stump or something like that and practice shooting on those. You know, make a good arcing lateral movement, draw from concealment, and now shoot a shotgun shell. You know, do that 10 times. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Really, really challenges you, and it's like a free target, right? Where you go, you're like, hey, I'd like to shoot some shotgun shells, but where I go, there's no shotgun shells. Then go shoot your shotgun a little bit and make some.
Huh.
Right?
Weird concept.
Wouldn't be hard. You know, again, don't one of my favorite targets, as John already mentioned, is one thing I do with my family is we take all of our old fruit and vegetables, anything that's, going bad, and we freeze it. And once we have a couple of, you know, big bags, garbage bags full of fruit, we go out to the desert or out to our range, and we spread them all over the place, and then we just shoot them with 22s. And we don't have to clean it up.
Nope. The birds will do that for you.
Yeah, it's fruit. Earth will clean it up. Animals will clean it up. It's tons of fun. And they blow up, you know, frozen fruit and veggies blow up when you hit them with the 22s, and it's fun. Same thing, you know, you whack them with the 9mm or whatever. So go out and, you know, take some frozen apples or frozen potatoes or whatever you have that kind of started going bad. And instead of just throwing it in the garbage can, throw it in the freezer. And next time you go out shooting, if where you go allows for this kind of stuff, like public land or whatever.
Not your local indoor range. They're probably not going to go for that.
Not going to dig it. And, you know, put that stuff out and then work that way, you know. Now, what do you do with these exercises if you're in a range that doesn't allow any of this kind of stuff, right? We're talking about stuff, low round count exercises that we're doing and we're moving, we're drawing from a holster and all that. Okay, so what if you can't do that at a range?
You modify it to fit within the limitations of the range.
You find a new range.
Find a new range.
Or find a new range if that's an option for you.
If it's an option. It might not be an option for everybody. So we modify it. So I can't draw from a holster at an indoor range, but I can pick it up from the table.
Yep.
Right? Or the thing in front of me. So now what I'm going to do is I've got the little carrier that brings my target back and forth. So what I'm going to do, this is one I've done at indoor shooting ranges. I used to train quite a bit in an indoor range, and so I would, to key myself up beforehand, what I do, they had the little electronic, you know, back and forth turntable thing, or not turntable thing, but
pulley system.
And so I would put the gun down on the little table in front of me. I'd bring the target all the way into me. I'd put my head down so I couldn't see, and then I would just shove that thing up, and then randomly I would release it. I don't know how far out it is now because my head is down. And then on a buzzer or just on a mental cue, look up, pick up your gun, adjust for the distance as necessary, whatever you need to do, and get your hits, whether you're adjusting your shot speed or your holds or whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, so now I come up, boom, 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 I get my hits, whatever they need to be. I put the gun back down, and now I bring it back and release and then do the same thing. And now push it forward and release and do the same thing. And again, 10 rounds, I can get a lot done. I can practice my single hand. Mm-hmm. You know, I can practice turning exercises. I can put my back to the target, you know, and practice turning and getting that good grip on the gun as I pick it up from the table, getting that good two-hand grip, practicing my presentation and getting shots on target. I can practice all those things on targets. I can practice different types of targets. One of my favorite targets that I use on at range as far as paper is concerned, as you guys have seen, is an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper.
Oh, God, yeah.
Just get your Arima copy paper, because I can do anything. I can divide copy paper up into 4 sections or 20 sections or whatever you want. I can use dots, a big dot, small dot. I love big dot, small dot stuff, you know, working back and forth between big dots and small dot. You know, hammer fire on big dot, nice, easy, controlled shooting on the small dot. Hammer fire on the big dot, nice, easy, controlled shooting on the small dot. Again, 10, 15 rounds, and you can get a lot of good practice in just practicing that at different distances. You know, add in all kinds of other targets, torsos or colors or whatever else you need. Clowns, right? Whatever. Have some fun with it. That's fine.
Clowns.
Yeah. So if you're if you're at a conventional range, there's still things that you can do. You can still modify the stuff to work for you. Even a normal outdoor range where, you know, you got to stand behind the yellow line when it's cold down range and step up and be able to pick up your gun when it's it's a hot range, and you get to shoot for 15 on and 5 off. And dude, during that 15 minute sequence, do this. All right. So your gun's on the table, right? It's ready to go. Step back, drop down, and do 50 push-ups or 20 or whatever it is you can do, right? 10, mm-hmm. whatever, right? Do those. All right. Then get up and work with your pistol. You know, give one good shot on target. Put the gun down, and now drop and do another 10 or 15, right? Bring a kettlebell with you to a conventional range. No conventional range is not going to let you do this, right? No conventional range that I know, all right? So get to a position where, you know, you've got your kettlebell, and you do a couple kettlebell exercises, some kettlebell lifts, some kettlebell pushes and presses, and then shoot your pistol a couple rounds. And then go back and do some more kettlebell pushes and presses, and then shoot your gun a couple of times. Stress yourself. Make yourself actually work for it, you know. These are all low round count shooting exercises. They're just limited by your imagination. That's really it. It's how good is your imagination as far as what a good low round count exercise is. Figure out the skills that you want to stress and stress those skills. But make sure that there's a standard, something that you're trying to accomplish.
Yep.
Make sure that there's some way to measure it, whether it's a accuracy measurement of hits on a certain type of target or a time measurement on a shot timer or whatever. And then make sure there's some way to pressure test it, doing it in different conditions, doing it when you're not feeling good, doing it with different firearms, doing it all support side only. Start working with this stuff. I mean, a lot of this is just getting people to think outside the box. I'll do these kinds of things for classes and or for students in classes, and they'll be like, hey, you know, let me take a picture of this setup, or let me write down this exercise, or, you know, do you guys have like an exercise book or like a drill book or something you can give me that shows? I'm like, dude, I literally make this shit up as I go along.
Most of the time. It's
true. All right. We make these exercises up. I'm like, we'll be doing a class, and I'll be like, hey, these guys really need more work on this. Let's set up an exercise.
Let's do X.
That would stress that. Okay, yeah. What are we going to do? We're going to move these, and we're going to do that. We're going to do this. Like, look, when it comes to just the exercises itself, yeah, there's some pre-made stuff we do in all classes. But especially with private training, when I'm working individually with people or you know, a couple people, dude, I am literally most of the time either drawing from stuff I've made up in the past or making something up as I go along. I'm just looking for exercises that stress certain skill sets. And a lot of it.
There's an unending supply of shooting exercises out there.
Only by your imagination.
Give it the Google if you want some standard stuff. You know, there's the L Prez, there's the 12x12, there's the 1x5,
there's Wizard Drill.
Like there's the, yeah, exactly.
1,001.
Unending. So if you're kind of concerned about this, and you can take most of these and modify them to a lower round count, or if you just have the extra rounds, go for it, man. Mm. A little extra live fire never hurt anybody.
Well, I mean, it might have hurt some people, but.
Well, right. So if you're concerned about, oh, well, I'm not that creative or I'm not that, well, then go to the Google. The only time I will ever refer you to the interwebs for shooting things is to find some examples of shooting exercises that are out there that people practice, that there's a ton of standards for from different organizations, different groups, different big name shooters that do these drills, and they do them extremely fast. Take that for what it's worth in your opinion, but there's exercises out there for you to do if you're concerned about not being able to come up with something on your own.
Yeah. And don't think you can't come up with something on your own.
Yeah.
One of the ones we came up with that another video that's on Independence Training's YouTube channel is the Gun Safe Roundup. Gun Safe Roundup is a fun exercise I like to do from time to time, where I just take all the guns that I don't really shoot out to the range with me. And you can do this indoor. You can do this at a conventional range. This is not something you can't do. Set up a target. Like what I do typically with Gun Safe Roundup is I'll set up a pistol target and then a rifle target. And then so all the pistols get shot. The pistol target, it's, you know, 10 yards away or whatever. And then all the rifle targets are, you know, maybe 50 yards away. You can do this at a conventional range for the most part. Mm-hmm. You've got maybe two close targets. Or if they only allow you one target frame, then fine. Just have one target frame. And maybe one is a very small target. That's your rifle. And the other one's a little bit bigger of a target. Mm-hmm. You know, so your rifle target may be an index card. And your pistol target may be an 8.5x11 sheet of paper.
Yep.
I even know ranges that only allow one piece of paper per frame. So fine, if that's your range, then you take an 8.5x11 sheet of paper.
Draw some Sharpie circles.
Exactly, and you draw some freaking circles, or you divide it up into thirds, and the smaller third is the rifle portion, and the bigger two thirds is the freaking pistol portion. Like that's really easy to do. And what I'll do is then a gun safe roundup is I take the guns and depending on how much space you'll have at this range, when I'm out at our range or the desert or whatever, I have all the space I want. But, you know, maybe you have like 10 guns, one round each. There, here's your 10-round exercise. 10 guns, one round each, or 5 guns, 2 rounds each or whatever. And you pick up pistols and you shoot them, and then you pick up the rifles and you shoot them, right? And then maybe you time yourself to see how quickly I can get through all the different guns, you know, with different manipulation techniques. I got lever guns and then an AK and then a bolt action. And then, you know, I've got a revolver and then I've got a semi-auto and then I've got a double action, you know, to single action.
And then a muzzle-loading flintlock
pistol. And then I've got a muzzle-loading flintlock. I mean, whatever you have in your freaking safety, you don't shoot much, do this. This is, as John said, marksmanship is marksmanship.
Yep.
Handgun skills are handgun skills. Rifle skills are rifle skills. If you can shoot one well, you can shoot them all well. So work through small, simple, easy, fun exercises like the Gun Safe Roundup.
Yep.
You know, if you want to see these, again, like John said, there's plenty of stuff out there you can see. If you go to our YouTube channel, there's a few of these things. There's a video John and I did, I don't know, maybe a year or so ago about the targets we use and why. And
it was closer to like 2 years
maybe
ago.
Maybe it was 2 years ago.
It was a while back.
But
it's the one with the outtakes. We started doing outtakes.
Yeah, that's right. These.
Yeah. It's a good one.
So, Yeah, I mean, there's a few different videos we do on our YouTube channel, and we haven't put a lot of videos up lately just because we've been so busy. But there is some stuff in the past that you can go look at, some exercises. But if you want to look up other people's stuff, that's fine. Otherwise, just come up stuff that's going to stress your skill set. Yeah. If you're a competitive shooter or you're a hunter, then stress hunting skills. Use animal targets and stress conventional or unconventional shooting positions and kneeling and sitting and all that stuff. So, yeah. The point is, low round count exercises. You don't have to go to the range and spend a lot.
Nope.
Shooting should not be a chore.
Nope.
And dry practice is really your key to success, and it costs you nothing.
And keep track of all of your standards and measurements. Keep track of that in a notebook that you can easily keep in your range bag. That's all I'll say about that.
All right, you can bring us out to train with you. Remember, if you want to host us, contact us, info@trainingaz.com. We'll give you all the hosting information. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram as The Arms Room Show, Independence Training, and Red Wire Gear. You can find lots of information about us on social media. We're proud members of the Heroes Media Group. Check out the other shows on Heroes Media Group. And we are coming to you live today from the Wilderness Tactical Studio. Be sure to check them out at thewilderness.com. And I love their new AccuBags. I've become a big, big fan of that.
Yeah, those are sweet.
The ones with the new non-slip stuff.
Also, we've got new outro music. So,
oh God, what is it?
Give it a listen. They picked like the saddest song ever. Oh, the Taps. Geez.
What is it?
It's Taps.
Yeah.
It's a rock remix of Taps. And Amazing Grace.
And Amazing Grace.
Interesting.
It's pretty good, but it gets you right in the feels.
Oh man.
Sometimes. So at least it's not bagpipe Taps.
Oh gosh.
Because then we'll just be in tears after every show.
I would be done. I'd be like, that's it.
We had a recent live Amazing Grace bagpipe
music at SHOT Show. And there was alcohol involved in some of it.
Pretty much everybody was crying.
We were all just bawling our eyes out. Like, it was terrible.
Oh man.
Bunch of hard ass dudes all.
Yeah, a bunch of pipe hitting like dudes in a room.
That club full of a bunch of sobbing men.
It was great.
That was a good time. Hey, Precision Rifle is this upcoming weekend. We have one slot left. So if anyone's looking to get into our Precision Rifle class, 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, make sure you hit us up. One slot left, and our Precision Hunter class is coming up March 25th. Plenty of room left in that one, so make sure you check that out. Next week is going to be one of our students, Ted, is going to be coming on the show to talk with us about utilizing ham and other communications during emergencies.
Ham radio.
Yeah, I know.
Ham radio and other communication devices in emergencies, concepts of it, how to get involved, how to get the right equipment, all that good information. It's going to be a lot of fun. And be interesting to hear his take. He's really into that stuff. He actually, as a listener, suggested to us, hey, you should do a show about this. And I was like, we don't really know anything about that.
I don't know anything.
Do you know anything about that? And he was like, I know a lot about this. And he sent me this outline of like what he would talk about on the show that is pretty awesome. Because
so tune in next week and you can hear this awesome outline.
We could do a month of it, actually.
Nice.
It's crazy. So anyways. All right, guys. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe, and train hard. You've been listening to The Arms Room.